Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, men and women of the Most High God. I thank God and I praise God for each and every one that is here with us this evening as we get ready to look into and at God's Word. I thank you for joining us on this, our 1037th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network, Look at Where God Has Brought Us To. I am Pastor Tylene Daly, better known as Pastor Toy, a.k.a. Chappie, your host for the next hour, and this is a special edition of Study for Life. Now, for those of you who are already listening in with us by phone, if you would like to join in on our live air conversation this evening, you simply have to hit the number one. If you are listening via live stream, feel free to call in and join in on our conversation. The numbers are 319-527-6091. If you are a T-Mobile or Metro caller, you can also call in at 320-870-4174. And if you would like to speak live on the air, press 1. Let everyone know we are broadcasting live right now at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, and we are getting ready to dive into God's Word. But before we go any further, we are going to stop and open with the word of prayer. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father God, it is once more and again that we, your handmaid servants, come humbly yet boldly before the throne of glory. We come first, Father God, to say thank you. We thank you, Father, for everything that you are doing, everything that you have done. We thank you, Father, for everything that we are believing you to do. We say thank you in advance, Father. We say thank you, Father God, for making ways when we didn't see a way, Father. We say thank you, Father, for the life that is we are able to breathe in and out in the blood that is running warm through our veins. We just say thank you, Father. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough just for all of who you are. So we just simply, we say thank you. Then, God, we come as bad children before a good parent. We come, Father, asking forgiveness of any sins that we may have committed, Father, through thought, deed, or action, knowingly or unknowingly, God, sins of commission as well as sins of omission, Father. We ask forgiveness of them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that you will cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness, that they not rise up against us in that day of judgment. And then, Father, even in that, we say thank you. Father, we ask for you to give us a spirit of forgiveness that we are able to forgive those who offend us. And for that, we say thank you. Then, Father, we ask that you will toil the soil of our minds, that your word will fall on good ground this evening, Father, that it will take root wherever it needs to take root at, Father, in the name of Jesus, that it will grow into good fruit-bearing trees, Father, that we will become walking epistles of your word. And for that, in advance, we say thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for meeting the needs of your people this evening, wherever they may be. I don't know what your people are going through, but I do know that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. I know, God, that you are all-knowing, that you are in every location, that you are all-powerful. So whatever the need of your people are this evening, Father, we ask that you meet their needs right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you will hold the enemy at bay long enough that someone could come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Then, Lord, I ask, as I always do, that you will allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, it is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray, amen, amen, and amen. I'm just excited about what God is going to do this evening, everyone. And I'm going to let you know I'm not coming to you this evening with a key scripture, but I will be coming to you this evening with a key book of the Bible. For this evening, the Lord has led me to the book of Jeremiah. I don't really understand exactly why we are going down this path per se, but this is the message that God has given me, and we're going to be looking at Jeremiah in its entirety as we talk about being placed on a tough assignment. Amen. Today we are going to be talking about being placed on a tough assignment. And the reason that we're talking about being on a tough assignment is because if you look at what is going on all around us today, if you listen to what's going on in the news lately, for believers, it sometimes gives us a difficult perspective when we see everything that is going on around us. I mean, we have natural disasters sweeping across the world. We have massive devastation. We have loss of homes. We have bombings. We have loss of property. We have loss of family. We have loss of life. Right here in Philadelphia and in different places around the world, we have babies being gunned down in the streets, in their homes, while they're in their car seats, being driven down the streets. Babies are being killed. Violence has become our new norm. Hatred is the new majority, and peace and love has become the minority. And for many of those facing these losses, for those that's in those situations, guess what? They are believers in Jesus Christ on tough assignment. I mean, think about it. It would be easy to accept some of the wrath that people have undergone when storms hit if we could say, oh, they were all sinners and they all faced the judgment of God, and that's why they're not here, because God rained down his judgment on the sinful. But that's not always the case. It would be easy to accept some of these murders that take place if we could say, oh, they were all people caught up in their life. They were selling drugs. They were out there in the streets. They were caught up in gunplay. But unfortunately, and in most situations, that is not the case. And then those family members who are left standing, hurting, mourning, having to stand in the acceptance and the will of God and still declare that there is still a God sitting on the throne and that he still loves his people. And then you have to declare this love of the Lord to a people that feel like God has forgotten all about them or turned their back on them. For some of us, it's a tough assignment. And then let's look at those whose assignment isn't even so much as ministering in a place of spiritual leadership, or they may not be dealing with the death or the loss of a loved one. They may not be dealing with some type of negative situation in their family, but they are just exuberant for the Lord. They are just filled with the joy of the Lord, and they get on the nerve of everyone around them. they are on a tough assignment. So what do we do when we are on tough assignment? Well, to gain some biblical perspective about it, we are going to look at the prophet Jeremiah. Now, when you look at the scripture, we find that there are some basic truths that we can turn to in times like these. Truths like that God knows best, that his ways are perfect, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But often when we say those truths, we say it in a simplistic way without really embracing the full feelings or emotion of the person that is under that burden of said law. A lot of times it's just, you know, something that we say off of the top of our head. We still believe it, but it's just our go-to thing to say. It's our go-to place. But what we find when we look at Jeremiah is Jeremiah tells us how to deal as believers. Not just the spiritual leaders, but as believers, when we are placed on a tough assignment. So if you look real quick, you're going to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to start right there, and we're going to skip all through the Old Testament, but I'm going to bring you up to par to where we are. We're skipping through the Old Testament, and when we're skipping through, when you have time, go back and read those books in between Genesis and Jeremiah so that you can catch up to where we are. And understand, I'm not getting ready to read all of Jeremiah. We don't have time like that, but we are going to go through Jeremiah. But to catch us up, what we see throughout the Old Testament leading up to where we are with Jeremiah is God calling out a people to enter into a personal relationship with him, sort of where we find ourselves at today. God calling out to us to enter into a personal relationship with him. And he took these people that he has called out, and he took them into a land he had prepared just for them, and he made them into a nation, giving them a king after his own heart. But then because of their sinfulness, he sent prophets to warn them and to call them back to repentance. Now, the nation of Israel has split into a northern half and a southern half. The northern half of Israel, which was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC, just giving you some real quick history. And then you had the southern half of Israel, which consisted of Judah, which ended up falling to the Babylonians in 586 BC. Now, Jeremiah is one of the prophets that God sent to speak to the southern nation of Judah during the last 40 years of their existence. So Jeremiah actually served underneath a few kings. He served under King Josiah. Please forgive me if I mispronounce their names. King Josiah, King Jehoahaz, King Jotham, King Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. But Jeremiah's ministry, even though he served during those 40 years, his ministry was a difficult one. He was given a tough assignment. Now, I asked you to meet me in Jeremiah chapter 1. So we in Jeremiah chapter 1, because that's where you see God's call to Jeremiah. This is when God first calls out to Jeremiah to give him his assignment. Everybody has that day where God called them out to give their assignment. I don't care if your assignment is just to be a witness in the streets that there is still a God sitting on the throne of glory, and that Jesus is real, and that he loves us, and that he shed his blood for us. Everyone has that day when they are called out on assignment. So if you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Now, when you hear that like that, that sounds really good. That sounds really encouraging. God is like, yo, I set you on assignment, and I'm going to stick with you all the way. I got you. Don't be afraid of nothing that comes your way, because I got you. That sounds wonderful. That's a wonderful promise that Jeremiah was given. He was told that God knows him, will keep him free, not to be afraid. He promised to always rescue Jeremiah. Given that promise, we might at first glance look at it and say, man, this is going to be a great, productive ministry. Boy, I must not going to have stumbling block anywhere along the way. But as we read through the book of Jeremiah, what we find that his ministry was a difficult one. And if you look at Jeremiah, you see exactly how difficult his ministry became. For Jeremiah's message to the people was not a popular one. Thank you, God. It's somebody out there that's telling folks stuff they don't want to hear. They're not sitting there saying, oh, it's okay, God knows your heart. They're saying, yeah, God knows your heart, and God knows that your heart is weak, wicked, and deceitful, and you need to come into a personal relationship with him. People ain't out there sugarcoating stuff. They out there telling you what God's words say, and folk don't like that. So in chapter 7, when we look at Jeremiah again, Jeremiah stands in the temple to deliver this message of judgment. In chapter 10, Jeremiah tells the people that they are getting ready to go into exile. In verse 17, he says, gather up your belongings to leave the land, you who live under siege, for this is what the Lord says, at this time I will hurl out those who live in this land. I will bring distress on them so that they may be captured. Then in chapter 11, we see the people plotting against Jeremiah to kill him. Why are they plotting against him? Because they do not like the message that he is delivering from the Lord. See, you think it's just you. You think just, oh, why is God doing this? No, see, we always talk about the fire that Jeremiah said was caught up in his bones, but we have to look at what Jeremiah went through, because when we look at what Jeremiah went through, Jeremiah teaches us how to stand through and with a tough assignment. In chapter 11, verse 18, we find that the people are plotting against Jeremiah to kill him because the Lord, and I'm reading now from verse 18, because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it, for at the time he showed me what they were doing. I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. The men of Anath were seeking his life and saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands. So see, they were even plotting to kill him. Some of you think you're on a tough assignment because of the way people look at you, because of the way people say things about you, because of the judgments that are being passed. This man's life was being threatened. In chapter 20, we see Jeremiah is beaten and put in the stocks. You can read about that in verse 2. In chapter 36, the king puts out an arrest warrant for Jeremiah. Why? For preaching the word of the Lord. That's it. That was it. And I'm sorry, we're going to go back up to chapter 20 for a second because I skipped the thought. It said in verse 2 that he was put in stocks, and he was held in the stocks in the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. Why did the Lord lead me back there? Because some of the persecution that we go through as believers in Christ, we get from other so-called believers in Christ. Now, I know I'm just pointing out the toughness that he went through, but now we're going to go through in a second, and we're going to look at how he withstood. In chapter 36, as I said, the king put out an arrest warrant for Jeremiah. In chapter 27, Jeremiah is put in a dungeon and then later chained in the courtyard of the guard. In chapter 38, he is put in a muddy cistern. In 38 and 6, he is put in a muddy cistern. Now, I don't know if y'all know what a cistern is used for, but it's used to get rid of the waste. You know, now we have toilets. We just hit flush and it goes down. He was lowered in a muddy cistern because he would not stop declaring the word of the Lord. Jeremiah had a tough assignment. But in this tough assignment, as I said, Jeremiah teaches us some mighty, mighty lessons. He teaches us some mighty, mighty lessons that are worthy of not just us looking at, but they're worthy of us learning from. Amen. They're worthy of not just us looking at, but also as worthy of us learning from. Now, the first thing I want you to know is that we are often called to tough assignments. See, there's a lot of people out here today teaching this prosperity gospel. They say if you just follow God and have faith, God will bless you abundantly with health. They teach that if you are sick, it is because there is sin in your life. They will teach you that God will give you all of these material blessings, for God desires you to be rich. He will give you back 100-fold for everything that you send into their ministry. And although there is some truth in what they're saying, the way that they're preaching and teaching it is not true, because the reality is that as believers, good men and women who seek to serve God truthfully with all their heart are going to face problems, struggles, and pitfalls in their lives. The truth is that as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the truth is as soon as you get to a place where you are trying to walk closer in a relationship with God, that is when things are going to turn upside down. Believers still have loved ones die of cancer and leukemia. It being saved does not assure you an easy, comfortable life, but truthfully, just the opposite. If you are a follower in Christ, trust and believe trouble is coming to follow you. Satan don't mess with you when he got you, but when he know you switching teams, he coming for you. Jesus taught us in John 15 and 20, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Matthew 16 and 24 tells us, if anyone would come after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. But somehow, for some reason, we expect that, you know, that's going to happen to everybody else. That's not going to happen to us. You know, we like to quote that scripture, oh, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. But then we forget that we started with saying I am crucified, but then we get the crying and complaining when the crucifixions come. And that's what we find happening to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is being crucified, not literally crucified, nailed on the cross. But I mean, he was lowered in the cistern. He was locked in the jail. He was locked in the prison stockades of the temple. He's being persecuted for the word of God. He's being talked about for the word of God. In chapter 20, verse 7, Jeremiah says, I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Why is that important? Because we can expect ridicule and mockery. But often because we don't like to be made fun of, The reason we don't tell folk about the ridicule and mockery is because we've never experienced ridicule and mockery. And the reason we've never experienced ridicule and mockery is because we choose to be silent than to face any of the reaction or the disrespect that can sometimes be thrown at us as believers. What happens is we become secret service agents for the Lord. We're not going to let nobody know that we really serve God. We sort of going to giggle softly at something that we know we should be speaking up about, saying, yo, that's not cool. I don't do that. I would appreciate you not doing that. That's not right. We don't talk about people like that. I mean, think about it. When was the last time someone laughed at you or made fun of you because of any stand you took? How did that make you feel? Now, how many of you can honestly say that they put themselves out there like that to take a stand again for the Lord? When we interact with unbelievers and we speak up for truth, we can expect to be made fun of. Yes, even in the sanctuaries of God, we can expect to be mocked. Yes, even in the sanctuaries of God, we can expect to be ridiculed. Yes, even in the sanctuaries of God, but we cannot let that keep us from speaking out for God. We must still speak out for God. We must still remain faithful on our assignment. Amen. The second lesson we learn from Jeremiah is that we can respond rightly to hard assignments. Jeremiah is one who models tremendously the right response to a hard assignment in a difficult situation. He was not always happy about the message he had to bring. He was not always happy with the situation that it put him in. But what he was he was always faithful. He remained faithful in what it was God assigned for him to do. He remained faithful in and on his assignment. Amen. We have to remember to remain faithful in our walk with Christ. We have to remain faithful on our assignment. Sometimes it means we have to let people know I can't do it the way I used to do it because I'm on assignment right now. I can't do the things the way you see everybody else doing it because God has me on assignment. We have to be mindful and faithful in our assignment. The next thing that Jeremiah teaches us is that when we find ourselves in those uncomfortable places, when we find ourselves in the middle of our crucifixions, our persecutions, and we find ourselves in it, he teaches us where to go with our complaint. So many of us, we tend to go to our friends. We call our girlfriends up. We call our pastors up. We call the mothers of the church up. We'll call our prayer warriors up. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. But what Jeremiah teaches us is that we need to take our complaint to the one person who can really do something about our situation. Jeremiah is struggling with this call, especially when you get down to chapter 20. I mean, look at his situation. Look at where he's in. And in chapter 20, verse 7, he says, O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed. And he goes into, I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. But he starts with, Lord, you deceived me. You told me you was always going to be with me. Come on now, somebody that said that prayer this week alone. You told me you would never leave me nor forsake me. I can't feel you. I can't see you. I can't hear you. He said, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord, because when you take your case before the Lord, when you call out to God in distress like Jeremiah is, when you call out to God in distress like King David did, what you're doing is you are taking your case right to God. Remember the story of Job? When Job was going through and he had lost everything that he had, and Job's friends came and sat around and they was talking to him. When Job decided to complain, he didn't talk to his friends. He took his case directly to the judge. He went right to God. Somebody today needs to take their case directly to God. They need to go right to him right now and say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. God, this is what I need you to help me with. And you need to go with the with your complaint, and you need to go with it in its true nature. Not, God, look at what they're doing to me, but God, fix me in this situation that you may get the glory. God, fix me in this situation that some lost soul can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But see, that means that we have to be willing to be crucified, which means that we would have to be willing to be like he who we say we follow. See, everybody thought, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, which means a follower of Christ. But when I last looked, Christ laid his life down for somebody, but you're not willing to lay your pride down for somebody, but you talking about you a Christian. You talking about you a Christian, but you're not willing to lay your tongue down for somebody, but you talking about how you walking and what you talking. No, you got to learn how to take your complaint to God and take it to him justly, asking him to fix that which is in you that he needs fixed. Don't go mumble and grumble and complain, because this is the one thing I need you to understand. If God is taking you through a fiery furnace, ain't nobody going to get you out of it until God has decided that enough of what he wants burnt off of you has come off of you for him to bring you out of the fiery furnace. Remember, he is the potter. We are just clay. The next thing that Jeremiah teaches us is that when we go to God with our complaint, we have to allow God to bring the justice. I stepped on my own toe on that one, I'm going to be honest. When we go to God with the complaint, we have to allow God to bring the justice. And before I go into that thought, I'm going to take a pause right there. I'm going to ask Brother Rob if he can come on and give the call letters and the numbers that you can call in if you would like to join in on our conversation, and then let us know if we have any callers on the line. Brother Rob?
Yes. We are broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And if you want to call in, phone number calling is 319-527-6091. And if you're T-Mobile or Metro customers, the phone number to call in is 323-870-4174. And of course, you just hit the number 1 and we'll let you in. And right now, we don't have any current callers, but we do have a lot of avid listeners waiting to hear your next word, Pastor Tory.
Praise the Lord. Thank God. We bless you for all of those listening in, and we are going to go on with that next thought. After we take our complaints to God, we have to allow God to bring the justice. We can't sit there and be like, God, look what they have done to me. I'm putting it in your hands, Lord. You said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. You said in your word, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You said in your word that it's better for them to tie a millstone around their neck and cast themselves into the middle of the sea than to mess with even the least of yours. And I'm not going to say I'm one of the most anointed, but I know somewhere between the least and the anointed, I must fit in. So go get them, God. And then after we say this prayer, we sitting here talking about, now how am I going to get them back for what they did to me? I ain't talking to them no more because they did this and they did that and they did the other one and they did this and they did that. No. That we got to allow God to bring the justice. Even though Jeremiah didn't understand why he had to go through everything he did, all the mockery, the insults, the threats, and the punishments, Jeremiah had learned that he could trust God to make everything right in the end. In the book of Lamentations, that is a book that was penned or written by Jeremiah. He says in chapter 3, verse 58, O Lord, you took up my case. You redeemed my life. You have seen, O Lord, the wrong done to me. Uphold my cause. You have seen the depth of their vengeance, all their plots against me. Oh, Lord, you have heard their insults, all their plots against me, what my enemies whisper and muttered against me all day long. Look at them sitting or standing. They mock me in their song. Pay them back what they deserve, O Lord, for what their hands have done. Jeremiah knew he didn't have to retaliate. He didn't need to pay back wrong with wrong. Instead, he just trusted God to bring justice. We have to get to a place where we trust God to make everything right in the end. Remember, again, we're going to go back to Job. Remember the story of Job? He lost everything that he had, everything. But in the end, Job never lost his faith in God. And because Job never lost his faith in God, God made everything right for Job in the end. Did it mean that his pain wasn't real, his trials wasn't real, his troubles wasn't real? No. But what it did mean was that in the end, God gave him back double for his trouble. Remember what God tells us in Haggai 2:9, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Look at what he says in Job 8:7. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. I'm here to tell you that if you just hold on, this not this, that prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you hold on, no matter what the enemy tries to snatch from you because you are doing the will of God, God is going to give it back to you, and your ladder shall be greater. He can't stop you. He might try to block you, but he can't stop you because God has you. Which is the next lesson that Jeremiah teaches us when we are placed on tough assignments. He teaches us that we have to keep our confidence renewed in God. We have to remember that God got our back. The scripture says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Do you understand how great a promise that is? As long as God got me, can't nothing stop me. Can't no demon in hell get in my way. Oh, you can set up stumbling blocks, but you can't stop me. You can put little mountains in my way, but in faith, I'm going to tell the mountain to get out of my way. I love that song, Lord, you don't have to move my mountain, just give me the strength to climb. I love that song, but that song always makes me laugh because the word of God tells me that if I ask him to move the mountain, I ain't got to climb it. He just gonna move it. Hallelujah, God. Look at how awesome he is. Look at how great he is. Hallelujah, God. So we have to remain and renew our confidence in God. After going through all of the difficult messages of judgment, after all of the times that he stood before the king, after all of the times that he stood before the high priest, and Jeremiah still kept his confidence in God. In Jeremiah 20:11, it says, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my case. Now, I don't want nobody to think that I'm walking around today saying that y'all need to just go tell the Lord to come get folk and do it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have to take your problems to the Lord and leave them there. I've never once in my life seen anyone take their car to the repair shop on a Monday and say, okay, well, I need to tune up and brakes and this, that, and the other. And the guy says, well, come back. Your car will be ready Wednesday. And then they come back Monday afternoon. Well, you know what? I'm going to take the car back for a little while. because I got a little bit more time and I got some things I got to do. And then they take the car back the next day. Then, oh, no, I got to take the car for a little while. And I got something else I need to do and something else I want to say in some other way. I want to try to fix something. And then they bring the car back to the mechanic. And then, oh, I need to take it back. After a while, even the mechanic is looking like you really don't want your car fixed. That's how it is when we take stuff to God and then keep snatching it back. He is not going to force us to give it to him, but we have to give it to him and leave it there. And guess what? He's also not going to force us to leave it there with him. You have to give it to him and willingly leave it there with him. You have to give it to him and say, God, it's yours and yours alone, and I'm not taking it back till you're done with it. And even then, I'm not going to have to take it back, because by the time he's done with it, it's going to be a brand new situation. Hallelujah. If you leave it there and allow him to have the justice, if you leave it there and allow your confidence to remain in him, if you believe in him to do what he says he can do, if you believe in him to maintain you, if you believe in him to provide for you, if you believe in him to keep you, he can do it. And I'm a living witness that he can do it. And I bless God that I know there are at least three or four other people listening right now that could say, I'm a living witness. I know God to do it. Habakkuk chapter 3, he says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior, the sovereign Lord, is my strength. Hallelujah, God. That means no matter what it looked like, I'm still believing God. Let me break that down to modern day. Might not be no food in the cabinet, but I'm still believing God. My bank account might say negative, whatever, but I'm still believing God. I might not know where my next paycheck coming from, but I'm still believing God because of this one scripture. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When things are difficult in life, do you question and complain, or do you have a firm faith in your God? Will you hold on to the promises that God has made for you? That's what Jeremiah is teaching us right here. He faced a lot of trials. Jeremiah faced enough trials that not only did it make him want to give up, he wrestled with wanting to give up, continuously wanted to give up. But you know what else Jeremiah taught us? When he would face those hard trials and got to that place of wanting to give up, then Jeremiah would teach us that that's when you begin to worship. We don't run when things are getting bad. Run away from God. We run to God. When we don't feel him, don't want to move, the assignment is getting too tough, that's when we run to him. To get to that place of, okay, we might have started off complaining. Okay, we might have started off screaming. But now, God, I'm standing here and I'm in a place of worship. Why am I in a place of worship? Because my confidence is still in you. And I know that you are not going to leave me nor forsake me. We run to him and we worship. Here we go back to chapter 20 again. But in chapter 20 and 13, Jeremiah sang to the Lord. Jeremiah 20 and 13, sang to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. In the very passage where he takes his complaints to God, Jeremiah reemphasizes his commitment of worshiping the Lord. When he got to that place of distraught, he then went to a place of worship. When he got to that place of going through, he then went through to worship. When God seems distant, when life is troubling, that's when we have to get to that place of worship. Matthew Henry, who was a famous commentator, a commentary writer, I'm sorry, a famous commentary writer, and he's one of my favorites, I have to admit. He's one of my favorite commentary writers. Years ago, he was robbed, and when he got robbed, this is what he wrote about it, and I thought it was very, very profound. He said, "From years past, I was robbed once." And he thought about what he was, what he had to praise God for. I mean, think about it. You just got robbed, and he was looking for a reason to praise God even after he had just been robbed. And what he said was this. He said, "I thank thee first because I was never robbed before." He said, "Second, I thank you because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, I thank you because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, I thank you because it was I who was robbed and not I who was robbing." No matter how bleak our situation, we can still choose to worship. "Lord, I just thank you." We sit there crying because we have no shoes, but I can guarantee you there's somebody wishing they at least had your feet. We sit there crying because we feel like we live in a box, but I guarantee you there's somebody wishing they had your box. We sitting there crying because we don't really like our job, but I guarantee you there's somebody wishing they had your job to not like. So what Jeremiah is trying to teach us is that in that place, okay, you've taken your complaint. Now get to that place of worship. Ain't nothing wrong with a spiritual temper tantrum every here and there, as long as at the end of your spiritual temper tantrum, you end up back at a place of worship. Somebody just said, okay, I was with you, but now you done went a little bit too far. What you mean? Ain't nothing wrong with a spiritual temper tantrum. Well, here we go back to Job. Remember what Job went through. When Job lost everything, he lost all of his money. He lost all of his servants. He lost all of his possessions. Then he lost all of his children. Job ripped his clothes off. He threw ashes up in the air. He marked himself with sin, put on sackcloth, and he just threw a spiritual temper tantrum. Then he sat down and got back right to that place of worship. "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You got to get back to that place of worship. Anybody can worship when things are good. But can you worship when things are rough? And lastly, and then we're going to go into our call of salvation, we have to maintain hope in God's compassion. We have to maintain, I'm going to say it again, hope in God's compassion. We have to remember what God has done for us so that we know that he will continue to bless us. We have to remember what God has done so that we can know what he can do. God said that he is the same today, yesterday, and will be forevermore. So the same biblical miracles we read about, the same holy writings we read and see God raising the dead, we see the sick being cured, we see withered hands being straightened, we see deaf people hearing and the mute speaking and the blind seeing. Guess what? That could happen today if we would just get to a place of still believing totally in the compassion of God. Are we sitting there looking at the blind man as the disciples and the followers did, saying, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's blind like this?" Are we sitting there trying to figure out what's wrong with him? Are we moving in the unction and the will of God through his Holy Spirit? Are we doing what God would have us to do? Are we walking in the freedom of God, in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, so that he can work freely through us? Or are we so caught up and bound by the tough assignment that we think is too tough for us to handle? Or there might be somebody out there listening tonight that's not even on assignment. But if you remember, I said before that everybody has a day where they hear the call of God to call them for their assignment. And today that call might be you. And I'm going to let you know that I understand everything I went through so far with Jeremiah. It sounds jacked up. I made the assignment sound really, really tough. And I want you to understand it really, really is tough, but it really, really is worth it. You're going to get into it thinking it's one thing, and then you're going to get it and find out it's something else. I'm here to tell you that if you decide to take this assignment, once you open up the packaging of it, you're going to find out just how awesome an assignment it really is. Because the first thing you have to know is that when you accept the assignment, he fully equips you for the assignment. He fully equips you for the assignment. Hallelujah, God. You don't have to go out and buy nothing else. You don't have to go out and buy protective gear or anything like that. He equips you. He gives you everything you need. Yes, the assignment is tough, but there's another side to that tough assignment, and we're going to get into it as we close out in Jeremiah. What I want you to understand is no matter how tough the assignment is really worth it. How many of you know that anything worth having, you have to work for getting it? If you want a diamond, you have to dig through the earth to find one. If you want gold, you have to dig and pan for it. It's not something that's just thrown at you. Anything worth value, you have to work at getting. Here goes the beauty part. This thing that is worth value that I'm talking about, you really don't have to work that hard at getting. It's just an act of faith. You have to step out on faith. Now, is there work that has to be done after that initial step on faith? Yes. You have to begin to read God's word. You have to begin to read it for yourself. You have to begin to study for yourself. You have to begin to talk to God, to pray, communicate with God for yourself. Doesn't mean other people can't still do it with you and for you, but you begin to do it for yourself. And this is just the first step, the step that we are about to take tonight. When you just say, first, Father, I believe. Just Father, I believe. That is that simple. Then, Father, I accept the gift that you've given, which is your son, Jesus Christ. And it's not hard. You can repeat after me. You just say, Father God, I accept the assignment. I accept the gift of your son Jesus into my life. I ask him to come into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sin. I ask him to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know you don't feel any different right this second. But I want you to understand that according to God's word, the angels are rejoicing for the ones who said that prayer this evening. Now the work begins. Now the assignment starts. But as I said, God said he's going to give you double for your trouble. Your ladder will be greater. Why is that important? With everything that Jeremiah did through his assignment. If you remember at the very start of this, I said that Jeremiah served the last 40 years as a prophet to Judah before they were captured and sent into exile. So now I'm going to tell you what happened after they were captured and went into exile, after they were captured and went into exile. I'm going to tell you what happened with Jeremiah. But before I do, we're going to bring Brother Robert back on so that he can give us our announcements for the evening. Amen. Brother Rob.
Okay. And yes, real quickly, we're going to give out the announcements for this evening. This is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode, which is the 1037th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you so much for joining us for tonight's episode. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say a prayer request, or you can just simply say hello, or you can just let us know that you have turned over a new leaf of life, and we thank you so much for that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, and we invite you to like us on Facebook. We can see some of our upcoming advertisements and some of our upcoming shows. And we thank you so much for doing so. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Let's Talk About It. And that's hosted by Sister Adrian, Sister Janice, and Sister Talene. And we hope you feel free to join in to tomorrow's show. And don't forget to tell a friend about tomorrow's show, which is going to be hosted at 9 p.m. on Purpose Kingdom Network. And we thank you so much. And don't forget that we have also rejoined our morning walk in prayer on anchor.com, or you can go to Anchor FM and you can hear our morning walk of inspiration. We thank you so much for that. And with that being said, it's going to be all the announcements, and I'm going to turn the program over back over to Pastor Toya.
Amen. We thank Brother Rob for those announcements. We pray that you are able to join in with us tomorrow evening. Again, we thank you for joining in with us for the 1037th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. Now, we are going to close out discussing Jeremiah and being able to stand in a tough situation, because what we found is that Jeremiah stood bringing God's word to a people who did not want to hear it. Sometimes as believers, we feel like we are trying to witness God's word. We are trying to tell people of the love of Christ. We are trying to tell people of the awesomeness of God, yet they do not want to hear it. Well, at the end of everything that went on, just as Jeremiah was prophesying to the people, the Assyrians came in. The Babylonians invaded and they destroyed Judah, just as Jeremiah had prophesied, as God had told them would happen. Jeremiah was freed by the Babylonians. Now understand this. The people that came in to destroy the Israelites are the same people that God used to free Jeremiah. Somebody's going to catch that in a second. The same people that came in to destroy that situation you preaching about is the same people that God is going to use to set somebody free this evening. And that was a place to shout for somebody right there. But Jeremiah was freed. He was free to go wherever he wanted to go. Now, what he ended up doing was going down to Egypt, not because he wanted to go to Egypt, because that's where the remnant that was left in Judah had went to seek refuge. And even with them doing that, Jeremiah followed behind them. They were still refusing to hear a word from the Lord, but he still stayed on assignment. Why did he stay on assignment? This is for somebody out there that's trying to figure out, God, why am I still here? Why do you still have me with these people? Why do you still have me on this job? I've been trying to go. I want to go. I told you I was going to go. Why am I still here? Why are you still there? One, because you were called from God to follow that assignment. Two, you are still there, because in all honesty, God is beginning to show you the great need of the people. But most importantly, you are still standing, because if you were to do anything else, you would call out like Jeremiah. It's like fire shut up in my bones that just won't leave me alone. There's a passion in believers for Christ to spread God's word, to spread God's love, to spread God's joy. Sometimes the assignment is difficult. Sometimes the assignment seems like it's a total uphill battle. But what we have to remember is that wherever our passion is to live for God, wherever our passion is to speak for God, to be used for God, wherever it is, He the potter and we the clay have just been shown a visual example of the vessel that we should be looking at Jeremiah as we stand on our hard or our tough assignment. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word that has gone forth. We thank you, God, that it has fallen on good ground. God, we ask that you would touch those out there listening this evening that find themselves on tough assignment, on hard assignment, wherever they may be, God. Allow them to know, Father God, that you are with them. Allow them to know, Father God, that when they are weak, you make them strong. Allow them to know, Father God, that they do not have to be fearful, for you will go with them. You will give them the words to say in the name of Jesus. You will guide their very actions and footsteps in the name of Jesus, God, that they will be diligent workers on assignment for you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. We thank you, God. We praise your holy name, and we say amen, amen, and amen. Everyone, we'll see you. Well, I was getting ready to say in 2 weeks, but I'll see you tomorrow evening on Let's Talk About It with Sister Janice Hudson, Sister Adrian Allen, and myself tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. God bless you. Know that we love you, but more importantly, God loves you. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Jesus bless.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.